Let's pray together. Father, as we approach your word this morning, I just pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to your word, that you'd continue to mold us and shape us. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue our study today of Hebrews chapter 3. And if you remember, as we started Hebrews chapter 3, the writer of Hebrews tells us to consider Jesus Christ. This isn't to be taken lightly, as I mentioned before. It's not a one-time event or occasion. It's written to us as believers for us to consider Christ. And what it means is that we are to ponder the works of Christ. We are to not take lightly the teachings of Christ. We're to meditate upon Christ. Our whole walk with God centers around the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 6, the writer tells us to hold fast to the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end that we have through Jesus Christ. So basically, 1 through 6 revolves around the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. That we're to consider the faithfulness of Christ as believers in Christ. As we progress to verse 7, there is a warning and a contrast. Follow with me in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. It says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." The writer of Hebrews is quoting Psalm 95 in this particular group of verses. And it's regarding the children of Israel, but it's also a warning to us. And if you look at verse 7, he starts out with the word today. I think it's a very appropriate word to begin an exhortation and a warning, because so many people in their dealings with God do not use the word today. They use the word tomorrow. Tomorrow they will start reading their Bible on a regular basis. Tomorrow they will start attending church on a regular basis. Tomorrow they will begin a prayer life. Tomorrow they will start giving. Tomorrow they will have time for ministry. It's always about tomorrow. But my friends, it really is about today. Because when we flagrantly put God off, it shows, one, a lack of fear, a lack of respect, and also it shows a lack of urgency on our part. Because we do not know what tomorrow brings, but we certainly don't even know what today brings. We're to be a people of today. We should consider God today. Israel did not consider the word of the Lord. And in fact, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, the Lord describes Israel. He says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider." There's that word again, consider. So just as the writer of Hebrews tells us to consider Jesus Christ, for us to ponder Christ, that Christ should be the center of our life, that we should have a Christ-centric life. Here in Isaiah, God described the children of Israel as a people that do not consider. The children of Israel had a habit of presuming that they knew the Lord. I think there's a parallel today. I think that there are a lot of Americans who presume that they know the Lord. Just by mouthing the words that they are a believer, they are presuming that they are okay. There's a danger in presuming. John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 7, said this about the Pharisees and Sadducees. And I'm quoting the English Standard Version because I like that particular version in this particular text. It says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire." They presume that because they were of Abraham, that they were always okay with God. That presumption was always in their history, taking God for granted. That's why in our focal passage back in Hebrews 3, starting in verse 8, it says, "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. It says, "Do not harden your heart." So first of all, he gives us an exhortation for today. And then he says, "Do not harden your heart." Well, how does one harden their heart? A person's heart, and this is very important, a person's heart is hardened through unbelief. Now, you may say to yourself, "Well, wait a minute, that's confusing. Because they professed Christ, so they believed." Profession of Christ, just the verbal acknowledgement, the intellectual acknowledgement of the existence of Jesus Christ, is not belief in Christ. The children of Israel believed in God. They acknowledged a belief in God, but they had an unbelief. And through that unbelief, their heart was hardened. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, he quotes Psalm 95 in Hebrews. And if you turn to Psalm 95, it goes into more detail of what their unbelief was in the day of trial in the wilderness. And it's in reference to Psalm 95, 8 through 9. It says, "Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work." Now, Meribah and Massa are the same event in the same place. Meribah means rebellion, and Massa means testing. And what's this in reference to is in Exodus chapter 17. And in Exodus chapter 17, the children of Israel had already left Egypt and they are on their journey to the promised land. And if you look at Exodus 17, what's going on here is that they don't have any water to drink. And so in verse 2, they contend with Moses and they tell Moses, "Give us water that we may drink." And they came to Massa and they came to Meribah. And they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" See, Exodus 17, they wanted water. And they looked at Moses and they said, "Why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" They professed a belief in God, but every step of the way, they tempted and tried God. Moses' response was, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. But through their unbelief, they were saying, is the Lord with us or not? They had a verbal acknowledgement of God, but they really didn't believe in God. Some people would say, well, why is that such a big deal? Because after all, they were just questioning God. It's more than that. At the burning bush, God tells Moses this. He says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Promise. You read later on in Exodus, Moses goes, and he tells the children of Israel this. He tells them that God is going to deliver them out of bondage, and he's going to take them to the promised land, and the people worshiped God. I want you to think about this just for a moment. He says, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart as in the day of the rebellion. So what he's saying is that I gave Israel my word. They professed that they believed me, but they didn't act like it, did they? They tested and tried God all of the time, all the way through their wilderness trial. And God said, they tested and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Think about that just for a moment. Think about what the children of Israel experienced. They saw the plagues. They saw Passover. They saw the Red Sea parting. They saw all the works surrounding Mount Sinai. They were fed every day with manna and quail. They experienced water out of rocks. They had a cloud by day. They had a pillar by night. They experienced the glory of the Lord. Over and over and over again, they saw the works of the Lord. But it wasn't enough. They did not trust the Lord. Every time things got tough, they tested and they tried the Lord. They accused God and they accused Moses for not being obedient. I love what Pink says in his commentary on this. He says, circumstances do not change us, but they do expose us. Now, where's the parallel? The reason why the writer of Hebrews is exhorting us is that we can profess a belief in God, but as I've said many times, unless you're living it, you don't believe it. We know what we're supposed to be doing. We have His complete revealed Word. We see His mighty acts in the Bible. And we're supposed to be walking in faith on a daily basis. There's a cost for having your heart hardened. Verse 10 in Hebrews 3 says, therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. What's the rest? The rest was the promised land. The rest for us is heaven. And as I've said many times, there is a comparison between the children of Israel and God's people today. The children of Israel were in slavery, in bondage, physically. You and I, before Jesus Christ, were in the bondage of sin, the slavery of sin. There was the Passover and the shedding of blood and the crossing of the Red Sea. We passed through Jesus Christ into freedom in Christ. They passed into the promised land. For them, it's the promised land. To you and I, it's heaven. There is a severe danger in presuming God. There's lots of people today who say, I'm okay, I'm a believer, but yet those people are living a life of habitual sexual sin. I know people who profess Christ but lie, steal, and cheat in their business dealings. Their hearts are hardened. They're not listening because they're not doing. It's not just hearing the Lord, it's doing. Obedience is required. They have no fear of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7 says, Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you rather not accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Habitual sinners do not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the writer said in Hebrews. It said, you always. We're supposed to show a changed life, a transformed life as we walk with the Lord. And that's not static. That's every day we should be progressing. God should be changing us. And the American church has gotten extremely lazy in their pronouncement of what is required of us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Too many people are living their life on cruise control. They take their faith lightly. They're like the children of Israel. They just presume. They presume. It's okay, I believe. It's okay that I do this. It's okay that I live this lifestyle because God loves me. I can do whatever I want. I can sin at will, and it's all right. Wasn't all right for the children of Israel. And it's not going to be right for those people who just proclaim a faith without living a godly life. Verse 12 in Hebrews chapter 3 says, Beware, brethren. I want to emphasize that because there again, he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to us. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The children of Israel were a group of people who, in that first generation, professed a knowledge of God, but they did not know God, and they fell in the wilderness. I'm so afraid that there are so many people in our country who profess God, but they do not know God, and their actions show that they walk blindly from God, and they presume that they'll be okay. Would you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, you may be here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not a follower of Christ. Christ isn't in control of your life. And if you don't know the Lord this morning, right where you're at, ask Christ in your heart. Turn your life over to Christ. You have to repent, which means that you have to give up your life. You have to turn from your sin. You have to make Christ Lord and Savior of your life. If you've never done that, if you've never acknowledged your sin, if you've never turned from it, if you've never asked Christ in your heart, make today the day that you become a believer and a follower of Christ. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've gotten lazy in your faith. You're just presuming that every single thing will be okay, that it really doesn't matter how you live your life, that it's all right, God's going to forgive you. You'll not find that type of lifestyle in Scripture. just right where you're at, just to repent, rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. He makes all things new. Our Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. I just pray, Lord, that we might always not just profess your name, but we might live your truths. We might walk with you. We might seek you. And we might worship you as truly our Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.